Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's go. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston's only FM sports station.
One home for all professional sporting activities.
That was pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left. Big show. Nick Sciarra in for Barry Laminack and Tyler Scott behind the glass. Just like old times here at ESPN 97.5, kicking ass and taking your calls, text, tweets, and rolling along on a Thursday in the big city. Kicking around some NFL as well as some other things.
Today in studio, tomorrow at Cypress Trail Hideout. All the shows from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. including Charlie Pilillo, The Usual Suspects, and The Blitz will all be out there.
So Charlie will be at Papa Charlie's barbecue.
Yep.
And you bet your ass he's going to eat, because that little guy can pile on the food when he wants to.
Really? And I've never seen him eat. He seems like he's a portion size type of guy, considering his size.
No. When he gets out to the Twin Peaks and such, he
grubs.
He was talking about, because he's had the long-standing relationship with Sam and Big City Wings.
Oh, yeah.
And
love those guys.
He was talking about, you know, kind of like when Fred and Raheel and they all went to the Avengers deal, and then they went and Sam brought out the new menu items. Charlie will talk just on the regular, like he stopped in and Sam gave him, you know, he'll go through all of it. Different hors d'oeuvres, different main courses. Now, I'm not saying he finishes every morsel of every bit of it, but Charlie can eat.
I can't talk because I love me some wings. I can probably consume an embarrassing amount of wings, like a lot of wings. So, I can probably do 20 to 30. I could probably do 30 wings.
Wow.
How about you, Tyler? Can you knock out 30 wings? I bet you can knock
out. Yes, you can.
20 wings.
Not anymore. I probably used to be able to, but AJ and I went to Pluckers.
Yeah, I love that
one
spot.
One Monday, and on Mondays, they do all-you-can-eat wings. You have to eat, initially, you have to eat 20, and then they replenish you with 10 after you finish the 20. I got through like 16 or 17, and I was
hurt. You were done? Yeah.
Boneless or?
Bone-in. Bone-in wings.
You got to go bone-in. They actually have this like pancake-smelling flavor at Pluckers. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Did you try that? There's a flavor
like
they
a
have.
Maple one?
Big City
yeah,
Wings?
The maple
I think
one.
I tried that one once.
It's spicy, yeah. But it kind of smells and tastes like pancakes, and it's really good.
Big City Wings has, what is it, Fruity Pebbles waffles?
They have Fruity Pebbles waffles, and on a commercial there's a honey bun burger. I don't know if I would try that.
Yeah, a burger or a chicken sandwich with honey buns as the bun. And then Barry and AJ both said, I heard them both saying, both Barry said it on the air, and AJ was talking about the new, was it sour cream wings?
Oh, sour cream and onion wings.
Sour cream
and
onion
yeah,
wings.
They were telling us about that. I still have to try that. I want to try that for sure.
So from a barbecue perspective, tomorrow should be a good spot. You can stop out and see us because Charlie's going to be there. I'm going to be there with Cody Stutes, and the Blitz is going to be there. It's Papa Charlie's Barbecue, Cypress Trail Hideout. It's a big weekend for them. Again, like Nick said, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., but their one-year anniversary party is Saturday, May 4th. It features crawfish, live country music. Then on Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, you know how that's going to be. They're going to have a queso cook-off for free entry. You just bring your own cooking paraphernalia and you can get in the contest for a queso cook-off. There's margarita and Mexican beer specials. Cypress Trail Hideout, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be broadcasting live 11 to 7 tomorrow, so come on out and see us. That should be fun. My man Pat who I've known for a long time. That's his spot out there. They brought barbecue in the other day, but they brought it in for the bench. Thanks.
Oh, that's not nice.
Yeah.
Winged barbecue in the morning, though.
And Lance ate on the air again.
Of course he did.
I mean, lip smacking good is one thing, and it's a great testimonial. We just don't want to hear about it driving to work in the morning. I'm driving Taylor to school, and I'm like, I got Lance giving us takes going, yeah, you know, last time in the Astros game, these are good. I was just like, come on, man, make a decision. No multitasking here. So, yeah, we should have some fun tomorrow.
I'm looking at this story with Tyreek Hill that just popped up. It looks like there's text that's been revealed, according to this report, NewYorkPost.com, and the lawyer's fighting back saying he's denying anything in regards to him punching his son in the chest. Remember, it was reported that he may or allegedly broke his arm, at least.
Well, then the audio
fiance was accused.
And then the audio came out that she basically said she covered for him. Then she also alluded to the fact that the child is scared of him. And he basically, in a very vulgar way, said, you should be scared of me, too. And then what you're referencing, too, is so now Tyreek Hill's lawyer has responded to all the allegations by sending a letter to the NFL denying any guilt in any of this.
Yeah, and I did see a report. I don't see it on the ESPN.com because I'm just kind of skimming through it right now. But I did see some tweet about them having a bunch of text messages that would essentially prove that he didn't hit his child. So that's kind of an update right there with Tyreek Hill, which I don't know if that's good or bad for the Chiefs. They're always going to look a little bad for, you know, dragging.
Here's the thing, though.
The second you don't immediately fire somebody, you're usually going to get criticized.
Think about their reputation. You can go all the way back to the guy that was suicidal, the player, when Romeo Crennel was the head coach, that ended up killing his fiance or wife and then going to the stadium and killing himself.
Yeah. That was
then
crazy.
You had the whole Kareem Hunt situation of a year ago. Now you've got Tyreek Hill. The whole NFL is watching, and it's getting to be where the whole world is watching. So the Hunt family that have owned the team forever, it's on you, and what are you going to do? So they got to have some quick resolution one way or the other, and they can't dilly-dally around because we know that the Ray Rice situation showed you what happens when you dilly-dally around and you don't do enough investigation as to was there a videotape, was there enough evidence, and then when you don't do enough initially and then the extra evidence comes out, it's a horrible look that the Chiefs can't afford to have. No team can afford to have. They got to do something in it. They got to do it sooner rather than later.
And here's a I guess transcribed or not transcribed text tweeted out by Brooke Pryor. She is a Kansas City Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, okay. And it reads as follows: Tyreek, quote, Crystal, you know I didn't cause any bruising or harm to our son, but for some reason I still may be charged. Crystal responds and says, I know you didn't. I did. I hurt our son. I'm the one that did it. I was hurt and mad at you, so I blamed you for everything. And this is on a tweet by Brooke Pryor, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. Wow, does that look favorable for Tyreek?
Can I play devil's advocate?
Absolutely.
You'd have to look at when this came out, and was it before or after there was all the speculation of what was going to happen with Tyreek Hill? Because essentially what the fiance did on the recordings that were released is say that she covered for him.
Right.
And so was that you're reading right there, was that how she covered for him?
No, the way she said she covered for him was she covered for him against CPS, the Child Protective Services, saying he didn't do it.
Right.
So really she wasn't covering for him.
Okay, but let's take this to where I was going with it then.
Okay.
All right? So if you're talking to Child Protective Services, right, CPS, you can't just be word against word, and she comes in and says, I did it, not him. They're going to say, well, okay, how are we supposed to believe you? Well, look at my text messages. I actually even texted him to tell him that it wasn't him, it was me.
Yeah.
So my interest in this quote that you just read is, when did it come out, and did it come out before or after the initial ruling that there wasn't enough evidence to charge Tyreek Hill?
The caption reads as follows: text message exchange between Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal after the Dubai recording, as included in the letter to the NFL. So that recording that we played last week, mm-hmm. or was it this week?
Last week
with Barry Laminack hosting. This came after that. So this is probably recent text. Because they initially relaunched the investigation, so they probably had the right to kind of confiscate or at least look through their texts, confiscate their phones or look through their text messages. Look, there's still probably a lot that has to be produced until they make their final decision. But at the beginning, it very much looked like Tyreek Hill punched, you know, was abusive. It sounded like
the recording says he basically admits to punching the kid in the chest and making him open up his arms and make his chest available and accessible, and that he did it on multiple occasions. And they basically both agree the kid's scared of him.
Yeah, and telling her that you should be scared of me too probably didn't help his cause in that audio.
But can I just say this again? And I said this when we were initially talking about this. Everybody's sitting here analyzing this case, and they're just worried about if Tyreek Hill's going to be able to play football again. This poor kid, yes, he's been taken away by Child Protective Services, but this poor kid has had to endure more than we will ever know, probably. But more importantly, people are losing sight of what's the most important thing in this case. This kid's well-being at 3 years old, and what he's going to have to go through, and these are his parents?
Even as an unborn child.
Yeah.
He was hit.
God.
Yeah, so now they lose he hasn't been in their custody for weeks now. At least that was the last update.
That's true.
They may have changed, and this is all basically because you have two parents that are not being transparent. One parent might be covering for themselves and or both. So now the kid is paying for it because obviously there's some lawyers, there's some representation, and there's someone that's lying. There's somebody, it could be both or it could be one of them, but someone is lying and now the kid is paying for it because he's not even living with his parents.
Nick, here's the thing. Does he want to be living with his parents? If this is the kind of abuse he's taken.
Well, the kid doesn't know. The kid wants to live with his parents because he doesn't know better.
He knows what he feels. He knows when he gets his butt kicked by his dad. I don't want to be in that house. If he truly is terrified of him, he doesn't want to be anywhere near him. If what she's saying is true in the recording, and he, every time he sees his dad, he doesn't want anything to do with him, I don't think he wants to live in that house.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand, like, I guess not intimidating ploy. I mean, sometimes you have to discipline your kids in a way that may seem intimidating. In most cases, I've never been disciplined by my parents, and I was like, excited about it. I was usually scared. Like, what is to come? How am I going to be punished? What are they going to take from me? You know, I wasn't the type of kid that got grounded very often, but there were definitely discipline and punishment. So is he really scared or is he a little intimidated? I mean, I'm not trying to defend either person. I'm just saying you don't know. But if CPS gets involved and takes custody, you would think that's a huge red flag.
Well, I mean, it sucks that the kid does have to go through this. Like, if there's maybe a family member that is okay with
grandma, kind of somebody
taking the kid and at least giving him a better environment than being stuck in the system, as they call it, then I'm all for that. But I would not want to see that child back with either of those. Of his parents.
Yeah.
I don't want to put, right. I don't want him to have to be put it, because we've all heard the stories about once you become a foster child, you can be bouncing from house to house and you're constantly in a strange environment. So definitely, if there's a family member on either side that can be trusted, more power to that. But just get him out of that house and away from those people if they've been that abusive to him, so he can just start, because this is going to affect him the rest of his life.
Yeah. Well, it's already has. The impact is, you don't even know.
When he grows up, he knows who his parents are, and he's probably going to look them up.
Yep.
And all this stuff is very public information right now. And it's never going to go away.
Yeah, I would imagine the internet's not going away when he grows up. So,
all right, we're going to continue to roll on. We've got lots more to get to. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, well, give us a call, give us a text, give us a tweet. Number you can reach us, the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call or text or hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the third hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. Always giving our props and thanks to Tyler Scott, filling in for Nick, who's filling in for Barry, who no one's filling in for me. So at least if I'm here and you're here, then it's our
time.
The
show can still go on.
Yes. So Nicholas is filling in for Barry, who's doing some comedy in El Paso. Tyler has dusted off in his retired producer hat that he only wears on holidays and weekends now. We were talking about it when you left the room, Tyler.
Honestly, I kind of forgot that I was producing today, but if I had remembered before I had left the house, I'd be in a t-shirt and a hat.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, because we've said you've had to step up your game with you guys fully bragging about taking control of the station and being responsible for the ratings. With that, you've had to up your wardrobe a little bit. Right?
A little.
Yeah, a little. You slip every now and then. I saw that. I saw you interviewing intern candidates the other day, and I was going to give you heat for it, but we can't do it in front of the outsiders.
Well, I forgot about that. Was also a holiday too, so
for some of us, others were.
I mean, it was Good Friday. Sales side wasn't.
Yeah, they were off.
No, there's a comment to be made there that we're going to let go too. All right, so Clarence is on the line. He's been holding a little bit. He wants to get in on the topics of the day.
What up, Clarence?
What's up, man?
What up, guys? What up, Joe, Nick, Chief Scott? One of ones and twos. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? What's going on?
What's up?
Well, you know, first I wanted to talk about White Stephen A. Smith hollering about the Redskins, but y'all were talking about something way more important after that, and I wanted to chime in about that.
Okay.
And I've thought about this a couple of times where Barry was talking about it when he brought it up, and you guys talk about it now, but y'all keep mentioning her as the fiancé. Is she still the fiancé?
I think they dubbed her as the ex-fiance, but let me okay. Make sure.
Okay, well, where are you going with the point?
No, I'm just saying, regardless of the fact, first off, what both of them are doing to this child is horrific and horrible. And then what really stuck with me about this is if she really wanted to hurt him and really wanted to stick it to him or whatever, why did she record the conversation and then give it to her friend to hold on to? That shows you what type of parent she is. If she is really concerned about her child, you record this and you give it to the proper authorities instead of giving it to your friend and telling them to hold on to it until after everything that happened, everything, and the courts found out that they're just going to throw it out and think you want to turn it in. What kind of parent are you?
And I feel you, Clarence. Here's the thing. When you ask that question about why would she record it, there's one of two answers, protection or extortion. It's one or the other. Because of the fact
I'm not saying why she would record. I'm glad she recorded it. My question is, why would she record it and not turn it to the proper authorities instead of giving it to a friend and have them hold on to the tape?
Because
that's what happened.
Okay. Can I take a shot at it for you?
Go ahead.
Okay, but because at the time it probably wasn't ex-fiance, it was fiance, and she
it
was
is
holding
fiance.
Out.
All the reports say it's fiance. Nothing says that
so
I threw that
still
in.
Still fiance.
Yeah.
So wow. So that's why, because she's saying if this goes terribly wrong and he goes off the deep end even more, or something happens to the relationship, then you bring it out. In the meantime, we're still parents of this child. And trying to create a family environment, so she's probably hoping for the best that she never has to use it. But if she needs it or they need evidence, proof, however you want the case may be, it's there.
What I would say is, I think it's human nature. Obviously, their relationship is not 100%, and most relationships aren't. You have to work at it. But sometimes there's an incredible amount of damage in a particular relationship. And when that happens, maybe she wanted to get at her fiance, but every time she does something to hurt her fiance in a way, indirectly or not, she's kind of hurting her son. And so sometimes as a human, she has to kind of pull herself back and be like, you know what? I really can't do this. This might hurt my son. My son may be upset with me. I don't want my son to feel this way. I don't want my son to know that I hate my fiance or ex-fiance or whatever the case may be. And sometimes people are just human and they have to learn to pull back. You don't know what the situation is. We don't know what the facts are. And sometimes people make, they say things when they're in an emotional state that they don't necessarily mean. So I'm not necessarily defending her or defending him. I'm just saying the fact that she gave up that audio to a friend to me is not incredibly surprising. Maybe she did just want to hurt him and not her son. Maybe she was trying to get at him because maybe she really did believe that Tyreek Hill did hit her son. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she knows he didn't do anything wrong, like it says in that report, and he's just trying to she's just trying to separate Tyreek Hill from their son. You don't know what the case is. There's a million and one reasons why a woman will react to a situation like that. We don't know why, and I don't think we know the facts in this story either.
And I think that's the most valid point you can make, is the fact that, just like we said when this all came down, that, and thanks for the call, Clarence, the fact of the matter is that we have to wait for it all to kind of shake out and all the facts to come out. Because until then, all we all are doing is speculating. Unless we hear from the authorities and we can get every bit of information in terms of what the investigation has found. Because to me, it's a little bit suspect, too, to say for the authorities to come out when they made the initial statement, which looked like he was going to be in the clear, being Tyreek Hill. We're not saying that something didn't happen. We're just saying that we couldn't be 100% sure who did it. That's an awful situation.
Yeah. Look, there's so many red flags in this story and in this situation that we don't know until all of it comes out. I don't know if you can necessarily pinpoint any blame on one person or the other, or just on the evidence that we've seen, because all we have is an audio recording.
If that audio recording wasn't doctored, though, Nick, that's pretty incriminating.
It is, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I'm with you. Look, if he's guilty even a little bit, I want him to be punished according to the law. But you don't know why any party in this relationship reacted the way they did. You don't know, because we don't have all the facts.
Because I'll tell you this: the minute that I heard the authorities make the statement that I just mentioned about the fact that there's no doubt that there was harm inflicted on this child, we just couldn't be 100% sure, however they worded it, that it definitely was Tyreek Hill. First thing I thought about was, those authorities may be Chiefs fans.
Never know.
And if they are, their head's completely in the wrong spot. You got to think about that kid first and foremost, right? Is the number one priority.
Because what we know is the fact is his arm was broken. Mm-hmm. How, we don't know. Was it his mom? Was it his dad? Was it both? Was it a genuine accident? We don't know. But one thing we know for a fact is his arm was broken. There's pictures all over the internet. There's obviously documentation at some sort of clinic or hospital. He has a massive cast on his arm. That's what we know for sure. Now, who did it and why, we don't know yet. And that's what the NFL and all the proper authorities have to figure out.
There you go. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. We got about 30 minutes on the clock when we come back, so there's still plenty of time for you to join the show like Clarence just did, the HR&P listener line. 713-780-3776 is how you reach the show, via text or via phone call. And or you can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at The Producer Nick, at Tyler Drew Scott, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Back with the final 30 minutes. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out, Nick's in. It's a Thursday, Usual Suspects, ESPN. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in the big city on this Thursday. Tyler in for Nick, as we appreciate him as well. Nick, you were saying during the break, NBA news coming out that may have an effect on free agency.
Well, Tyler Scott brought it up to my attention, but Brooklyn Nets all-star point guard D'Angelo Russell was cited at a New York airport for marijuana possession. I thought he was a free agent.
Oh, I was gonna. I told you. They need to re-sign him. And this could hurt him, because he was going to be sought after by some teams. Now, I don't know if he was going to get the max deal he was after or not, but best believe that this is going to come up with whoever is talking to him. And again, we talked about during the start of the show about long-term contracts, and we were talking about Trevor Bauer at the time, but in any way, shape, or form, Marcus Stroman was one of the guys that said, man, I went through arbitration, and I didn't realize my own team would not hold back and say what they said during arbitration just to save some dollars from me getting more money on my contract for next year. It's like, hey, man, at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yeah, well, that's always something that could be brought up in negotiation for sure, especially when you commit something illegal. Obviously, in New York, it's not legal to possess marijuana. He was actually traveling from LaGuardia Airport to Louisville International Airport, and he was questioned by the police after a routine search by TSA workers, which flagged what they saw at first glance appeared to be a can of Arizona iced tea. This is according to USAtoday.com. So I guess he tried to hide it in a can of Arizona iced tea. A person with knowledge of the incident told USA Today, upon further inspection, the can had a hidden compartment where marijuana was discovered.
Oh, so some thought went into this.
Yeah, they sell those type of things all over. Like if you go to like a smoke shop, any local smoke shop, yeah, they have all the like paraphernalia and the smoking mediums that you can buy to use whatever it is that you're, you know, consuming. But they also have like these, you know, places to be, you know, a little stealth. Like they have Coke cans, they have
fake Barbasol cans.
Exactly.
So let me ask you, when you go through security, are you assuming that because it's just a beverage and they can see, you can shake it and know there's not much left, and you just pass it around the security scanners?
I mean, that's probably what his assumption was.
He was trying to do that, but okay. I don't know of any airport that you don't have to put either like anything that you're carrying through an X-ray machine.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I don't know, maybe because he gets a, I guess he was flying commercial.
That's not true, though. I will say this, because I had it happen during jury duty, and I had it happen, I think it was in hobby, where I didn't have a whole lot left of a drink. I think it was a bottle of water. And they just said, well, Pat, they just took it, and they took it around while I got scanned and then handed it to me on the other side.
Yeah, I will say this. I think it's a part of the job of like Houston Police Department and various police departments to kind of keep themselves educated on these items that they're selling at smoke shops and wherever where you can like hide. So I would imagine TSA is even more educated about the situation, right? The other problem, though, is I feel like it's got to be overwhelming at this point now that it's legal. Like, I feel like there's probably so many people trying to sneak in marijuana from state to state, like it's probably going to get overwhelming at some point. But I don't know. I guess, you know, they saw that he was trying to hide something. And when you're trying to hide something, regardless of what it is, I think that's a red flag in itself, whether they knew it was just marijuana or it could have been something more serious. But I don't know. Trying to hide it in one of those cans to me is a dumb idea because I feel like most departments that are looking for that are trained. And they're supposed to be educated and those type of things. So,
I mean, not only that, but wherever he's going, he probably has a resource that he could try and find.
Right. He has the cash or the money to go to a dispensary or probably find – if it's in a state that's illegal, I'm sure he can find a way to get it.
It might be legal because he might just be going to – the flight said he was going to Louisville Airport, but he's probably just going as a connecting flight.
Right.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, the Louisville. So I don't know what's the weed laws in Kentucky. I don't know. Working to reform. I don't know.
I don't think it's legal in Kentucky.
I don't think so either.
Washington State, Nevada, Colorado.
He would be the one guy. I feel like players would know. They would know because they travel so much. This is where it's legal. This is where it's not. Right. Like if you're someone who partakes, I think you would know. Considering that you're an NBA player traveling to different cities,
I know. That's why I was rattling off all the states because you know.
I don't even know, but yeah. Another dumb move by Russell.
And he is a free agent. So, I mean, you know, the Nets said it was their top priority to bring him back. There were teams that were going to look at him. Believe me, guys, this is going to come up. It's going to be a deal. It's going to be part of it.
Isn't this the same Russell that threw Swaggy P under the bus?
Yeah.
So are they going to bring up both of these things when the negotiation comes down or no?
I think people have He said it was a maturity thing, and he matured. And I think that the way that he can prove to execs with teams that are considering signing him is by the way he played this last year. He was an all-star for the first team. He took a young team and led them to the playoffs. That's why I'm saying he built up so much positive credibility for himself. This is a bad look because, you know, he's looking for a big deal now, and he's trying to convince some team that he's a max player.
Yeah, it's funny because a day ago, Hoops Hype publishes this headline, and it says like four potential spots for free agency for D'Angelo Russell. And then an hour, like another story that I just clicked on, which was an hour ago by USA Today, talks about how he gets cited. So, yeah, it's definitely a negotiation ploy at the very minimum.
Oh, I still think
I think he'll still play though. He's too young.
Text message. Kudos to you. You know what he was doing?
What?
He wasn't going anywhere past Louisville. Guess what's this weekend? Ask Fred Fowler.
The Kentucky Derby?
Boom. And believe me when I tell you, it's on everybody that's single and wants to mingle's list of the biggest parties on the planet. And it's been more and more an athlete hangout.
It has been an athlete?
Big deal. Dude,
Gronk and Welker.
Aaron Rodgers goes every year. All the NFL guys go. It's baseball can't because they're in season. But believe you me, it is a huge party, upscale party, that everybody wants to be at. You want to be on the infield, drinking your mint juleps, and then the party scenes, and then the after-party scenes all over town. It's a big deal.
And to his defense, and I don't think this is an excuse, it might be a convenience thing. You know what I mean? He's done it before. He's probably snuck it past in domestic flights before, got away with it. He knows he's going to a place where it's illegal, and he just doesn't want to deal with it. He wants to have it in his possession right when he lands in Kentucky, and it's more of a convenience thing. I bet you that's a good possibility. And sometimes you might be able to, even when you're not supposed to be taking it with you to a place that's legal, and I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah, you can. Because, like, if I was leaving from Houston going to Vegas, I can't have it on me. Like, it might, even though I'm going to a place like Vegas where it's legal, I may not want to deal with grabbing a cab, going to a dispensary, trying to pick something up. That's probably, he may be thinking it from a convenience standpoint. That's, you know, he probably knows better because he's been in the league long enough to know that he can get caught. And he's an NBA player who probably has a little bit of a spotlight on him anyway.
It's just a dumb move. It is. Like if you're in the first or second or third year of a 6 or 7 year deal, then you know what? You can show a little bit more loose behavior. But when you're looking for your first truly big deal after your rookie contract, and you got a chance, you brought up something that I think in most people's eyes, unless you were with the Lakers or maybe some of the people when he first came to the Nets. No one remembers that anymore. No one remembers anything about the Swaggy P and selling him out and all those other things.
True.
But now because of this, they will remember that and they will bring it all up. So you got to be smarter than that. Everybody knows they've got advisors. They've got lawyers that do their legal work. They've got people that are advising them and doing their PR. Someone's got to be telling them, bro, mind your P's and Q's and stay on a straight and narrow until we get this deal done.
Was Russell a first round pick?
Yes, he was. He was out of Ohio State. He came out early, and he was when the Lakers rebuilding. They were going to rebuild around him as their point guard until Ball came into the picture.
Exactly.
And then because of Ball, they traded him to the Nets.
So I'm looking at basketballreference.com, and it says that he made $7 million in the last year of his rookie deal. I don't know if that's – you know how, like, when you get that rookie deal, you're guaranteed a three-year contract, right, if you get picked up in the first round?
Three with an option for a fourth.
Right. What is that fourth option? It's but you can pick it up.
It's either the team option or the player option. Sometimes they do a mutual option.
Usually it's a player.
It's the player option, but
if he knows he's going to get a bigger deal somewhere else.
That's why it's normally the team option for a fourth year. Because if the guy doesn't perform well or he's not playing well, the team can bail. Otherwise, because the league is so focused on keeping guys in small market cities, they give the team the option of keeping him for one more year before they have to either pay him big bucks or watch him go.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a good look for him. I think he'll get a deal. He may not get paid as much as
There's no doubt he's getting a deal. There's no doubt someone's going to pay him some money. I just don't know if it's going to be a max deal, and I don't know how long it's going to be, because for as much as he wanted to claim that he's matured from what he did with the Lakers and such, like you brought up, this right here says maybe he's got some more maturing to do. And therefore, do I want to make a 5-year commitment to a guy like that as opposed to a 2 or 3 year deal? And do I want to give him max money or do I want to give him – this is the same way for a different reason that Steph Curry didn't get a max deal till about 6 years into his NBA career. His was injury-related. He couldn't stay healthy. He was constantly having foot problems. And so instead, while other guys were making 18, 20, 22, he was making 11 and 12 until that he could prove that his ankle's healthy. Same thing, different scenario. Now they're going to start doing the same thing with D'Angelo Russell. Sure, you want a max deal. We don't want a guy that's going to be in so much trouble that we don't have you for the long term at the kind of money you wanted. So why don't we meet in the middle? You're going to have to come down a little.
Yeah, could be possible. He's only 23 years old. So, I mean, I've done dumber things at 23. So I don't know if that gives him enough of an excuse, but it'll be interesting to see.
Well, you know what else is interesting to see? The scenic views at Twin Peaks, because yep. Twin Peaks is the place to be. It's always the place to be, but it's especially the place to be during this hot sports time in the Houston area. I mean, like, take for today, for instance, the Astros playing a day game. What a great day to play hooky from work or catch some lunch at Twin Peaks, because you know what? It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. They've got a new smoky menu with all kinds of new menu items that are smoked meats that are going to be cooked to perfection. Of course, those 29-degree draft beers that are always ice cold and ready to go, and plenty of TVs with all the different satellites so they can cover all the different sporting events. You got Twin Peaks, the best place for all the NBA and the road to the finals. You can get your location, one of the 6 locations in the Houston area, catch some NBA playoff action, eats, drinks, and of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks grills. The NHL playoffs are going on. The soccer semifinals are going on in UEFA, so you might want to check out that and maybe get an early start and get going on things like that. But they're going to have all kinds of events, but the main thing you need to know is you need to go in an environment where it's upscale, it's very clean, the girls are extremely pretty and helpful, and I'll tell you this, the food is great, and the beverages are too. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views, it's Twin Peaks.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects here at Gal Media Studios, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday. Tomorrow, Friday, we will be at Cypress Trail Hideout. Charlie's show, us, and the Blitz, 11 to 7. We will be going live with ESPN 97.5's regular programming. You should stop out. Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. So obviously the barbecue and the food, which they brought in the other day, absolutely off the chain, fantastic. Just ask Lance, he ate 3/4 of it. And also, Saturday at Cypress Trail Hideout, they're going to have their 1-year anniversary party. Saturday, May the 4th, it's crawfish live country music. Then on Sunday, of course, Cinco de Mayo. Head out there and compete in a queso cook-off. It's free to enter. Just bring your crock pot. Margaritas and Mexican beer specials all day. Head out to Cypress Trail Hideout with us Friday and then Saturday, Sunday. Fellas, are you going to be having massive plans for Cinco de Mayo? Are you the guys that do that on a Sunday?
Not anymore, no.
No, not really. I have in the past. The queso cook-off sounds very tempting.
Well, that's part of it.
I know in Austin they have a yearly one. They call it the queso-off.
Oh.
Yeah, but I didn't know that they do that here. I love queso, so that to me is enticing.
I'm from Wisconsin. The combination of cheese and that kind of... Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And the wife that I have, yeah, there's a mix.
She's a cheese lover as well?
No, but she enjoys that type of food. If you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
You know, she's a Mexican food connoisseur.
I feel you, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll get the queso when we do the order outs. She does the vegan version, so therefore she's a huge on the salsa and the pico and all that other stuff. I'm like, look, if you're going to get any kind of Mexican food, I'm going to go to the queso cart.
Yeah, absolutely. I love queso. I've always wanted to go to the one in Austin. They should do a yearly one here, honestly. I'm a big fan of that.
But I was thinking about this. And I don't know if they do it anymore. And again, you guys can, again, chime in as being foodies and beverage-y guys. But I was always a fan of the queso with the fajita meat in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And do they still do that a lot? Because I know that it's your normal, like, I know that Lupe's doesn't and Papa's does, Papacito's doesn't. And I don't know of the major change.
I think what
El Tiempo does.
But are they putting the fajita in the queso, or is it like on top of the chips?
No, they mix it in the queso.
No, they mix it in, yeah.
It's fantastic. Okay.
So usually when they mix it in the queso, I feel like it's ground beef, not fajita.
I think a few places do. They have like chorizo and fajita, or chorizo, like these options. Chorizo,
right.
Ground beef, or fajita.
Okay.
And then
in the queso.
Yeah. In the like a pile of it.
It's amazing.
On the queso.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Because I know for a fact, because obviously you can tell if it's chopped up fajita meat, it's cubed. Otherwise, it's the ground beef. It's ground. And like chorizo or regular ground beef. But
going back real quick to that D'Angelo Russell thing,
because I
really like my theory. I'm tooting my own horn. I really believe it was a convenience thing. But I wish I did this earlier, but I wish I asked listeners things that you've gotten away with, things that you keep doing because you've never been caught. Because if you think about it, like when the Houston Texans, when Houston brought back their football team back in 2002, I'm not going to lie, I snuck in drinks into NRG.
Oh, I still do that.
And I never got caught. And you know why I never stop? Because I never got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never got caught. I can't tell you how many drinks I've snuck into NRG. Like, especially when the Texans first came back, like when we first got our football team back, I was all about that.
And then I do it every year at the rodeo. I don't even need to anymore, but I still do it.
Yeah.
Just because it's like...
Dude, there's a video of Matt Damon and Ben Affleck sneaking in a flask to a Boston Red Sox game.
Yeah.
No BS.
At Fenway, yep.
Still do that.
BS. So I wish I asked listeners to text in what they still get away with because they haven't been caught, because I think that would have been a segment. Maybe we can do that when Barry comes back.
But yeah, we can do it tomorrow.
Or tomorrow with Cody Stutes, because Cody Stutes is going to be filling in, and he's going to be on remote.
Yep.
And so is Tyler. So you can see Joel,
Tyler,
Cody,
going?
And Tyler. Yeah.
Oh, God. Between the two of you, are you guys going to save barbecue for everybody else? Or
No, I had
some of the Pop Charlie stuff yesterday,
yeah,
and it was good, but
I'm
going to try the fresh stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you, though.
So,
okay.
I wouldn't share either. Why are you asking them to share? No, we don't share. Radio guys don't share.
He was making a joke saying
that
we're going to eat it all.
I know.
Look, man, I've done remote.
He was fat shaming us.
No, I was not. It wasn't to that degree.
Totally,
you're
was
a barbecue connoisseur, for one. Are you not?
I am.
Yes.
I would put myself.
You and AJ are the two biggest barbecue connoisseurs at the station, for sure.
Is he going to do that tour again where he went to like place to place?
If he can win all that Yeti stuff,
well,
for
so
doing
that,
it.
That thing comes out every 4 years.
Oh.
So I think he's got 2 more years. They just hit their halfway point like a few weeks ago.
Okay.
For the 2 year mark. So if they do another contest like that, I bet you anything
he's going to be on it.
You're going to be in on it too, then.
I tried it. I tried doing that, and between myself and my girlfriend at the time, we hit maybe like 20 of them.
It's hard with the travel, right?
Because
they're all over the state.
Driving all the way to West Texas,
yeah.
El Paso. Like, you have to kind of plan these trips out every weekend.
Plus, if you have kids. Was he taking the kids?
I think some weekends he was. Other weekends, like, he called a fight up in Dallas. And he went up there for work and then just hit all the spots.
Because his wife was doing most of them with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most of them was a family affair, but a few of them he just hit by himself.
We already got a text. Yep, bottles in the boots every time I go to the rodeo, at least twice a season. Little plastic bottle of whiskey. Specs also sells flasks and things of that nature to sneak in
drinks
at events.
The plastic flask. Like it's like a Capri Sun. But you can put
liquor
God,
in it,
and
it's genius.
Undetectable by.
I knew this would be a good topic.
Detectors.
I leave early from work every day. My boss is out and still put 8 hours on my time. Oh no, that's different. Also, snacks in the kid's backpack at the movies. He does that, which I think everybody sneaks in candy at movies.
At the movies, definitely.
Yeah. I used to sneak in beer to the movies.
I could see that.
I've done that before,
but again, it was a different time too, where people weren't.
You can
well,
still
now
get
they
away
don't,
with it.
I mean, now there's probably a bar in every movie theater because
that's true too. Because they've got
everybody
the whole
realizes like, hey, this is a moneymaker for us.
And what do they call them? The movie houses or whatever that have the food and beverage.
I mean,
and everything.
Even like AMC and the Cinemark on Westland right here.
Yeah, they have
a bar there.
Do they really?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Edwards, they
outside
all
of it, though. Not
no,
that you can
like
take.
Whenever you go into the movie theater, after you give them
after
your ticket.
After they take your ticket?
There's two bars there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because they're trying to combat all the people that want to go.
Exactly, like all the studio movie grills.
Studio movie
stuff,
grills, that's what I was thinking about, yeah.
They have to, otherwise they have to. They have to evolve and do that. almost every single one of those theaters have converted to it.
It's just like with Minute Maid and all the baseball stadiums. When everybody was trying to say and bitch about how high the ticket prices were getting, the one thing that they could they weren't going to bring the ticket prices down. You knew that. But the one way that they gave in a little bit in almost like a negotiation with the public is that's when they started allowing you to bring your own food into the baseball games. So that it isn't that expensive when you bring a family of four to a baseball game. You may have to pay for the tickets and the parking, but now you don't have to pay exorbitant prices for food. You can bring your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and your peanuts and your popcorn and do all those things. Obviously, now you have to do it in a clear bag.
So did your dad ever take like the whole family to a game?
Huh?
So back in your day, back in way back then. How much did it cost for like a whole family to go to a baseball game? Like, was it like... Like, okay, so he took the whole family?
So, yeah, well, we would do it more with our neighbors because my best friend and his family lived right next door in another family. So we would all tailgate, we would all go. But a lot of times, you know, we had either someone's work, one of the dad's work's place had tickets,
uh-huh.
or they had a discount deal where you could get a certain amount of tickets. The more tickets you buy, the less of the price. And they'd buy like 16 tickets, and then we'd all take two or three cars, load up the grills, do the whole thing.
So this whole thing, like how much would this cost your dad, like for your family?
See, the big thing is when you can tailgate, you don't have to bring much in because you're eating and having fun, and you're basically doing all your eating and a lot of your drinking in the parking lot. Before you go in the ball game, so then you don't have to do it when you're in there very much. But I would say probably, you know, I would say tickets were probably in the $10 range, maybe $10.
Wow. So you probably could have, like a family of four.
Guessing. But I'd say under $100 to take me
with
and
the food
my mom.
And everything, though.
With the food and everything, probably more than that because they were drinking and there were coolers full of beer and coolers for all the stuff to grill. So I would say, you know, even still, you can keep your whatever. Again, the other key is whatever you don't use, beer wise and otherwise, just pack it back in the car and take it back home.
Yeah. Well, what was a 6-pack of beer back then? Like 15 cents?
Well, dude, I wasn't drinking when I was like 10. But okay.
I would imagine it was like in the $3-4 range, right? Because, right, you were going to, as a kid, like what? Like, I would imagine $3 or $4 in the 70s or 60s.
Somewhere around that.
Sodas were probably $1.75, buck, I don't know.
Sodas
that
were $1.75?
For the big ones?
Oh, for the 2-liter,
for the bigger
I guess?
Ones or the bigger ones? I'm saying
that
I'm
still
saying
sounds
like
expensive.
Yeah, that's that
big
does
cups
sound
at the ball game. Think about it; they're like $5, $6, $7 now or $9. I was trying to go light at 175. You know, a brat or a hot dog was probably $3.50.
I just think that's interesting to me. How much?
I don't know.
Because the reality is like the average middle class or maybe even lower class person can't take their family to a game anymore. They just can't.
But that's why tailgating was so big in the Midwest because it's blue collar and we couldn't afford it if you couldn't make sure that the kids had all their burgers and their hot dogs and everybody got their beer filled so they didn't have to spend all that money when they got in the stadium.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Nicholas, I appreciate you as always.
Thank you.
That was fantastic.
Thank you, Tyler.
Tyler, thank you as well. That'll do it for us, but the Blitz is going to take you home till 7 o'clock. So whether you're driving home from work or just driving around town, stay tuned because Aaron, Fred, AJ, they're next. We'll talk to you tomorrow, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.